There you go, Mark. What do you think of that?
That's pretty cool, that, John. I was, my head was nodding away. I was really dancing.
That's from a Stride and Boogie album that I recorded many moons ago. And I played both the piano parts, and we brought in this really fabulous drummer to actually overdub the drums after I recorded both the piano parts. Have a listen.
Eddie upbeat, isn't it?
Oh.
Not what I've been listening to last time, isn't it?
True enough, true enough.
Thank you, sir.
See, everybody thinks that, you know, I'm mainly associated with classical music, but I, you know, I write and play in lots of different styles.
Oh, I like this.
It's like sort of, it's like bluegrass in a way, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's slick.
It is slick.
Anyway, so here we are again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just let that play out. Go ahead. Anyway, Mark, go ahead.
We're here, part three of our music industry special.
Indeed, indeed.
Yes, yeah, so in part one, you gave us the lowdown, didn't you, John, how you became such a top pianist. And I think in part two, yeah, you described how your music was distributed and how it earned you a living. And I remember at the end, we briefly discussed the fact that it's pretty much impossible, isn't it, to check how much royalties you're supposedly due.
That's right, that's right.
So, for us, the listeners, and for myself, maybe in part three, you could tell us more about copyright management organisations.
Okay.
And the mechanics behind them, and just how they can be abused.
Well, and no doubt about it, and they are abused. There's no two ways about it. And mainly because they're controlled by an executive who are mainly, if you like, toadies to the major publishers and the major record companies. And although they might get offended by saying something like that, but that's the truth of it. So the copyright management organizations are supposed to transparently collect your royalties and distribute them to you. That's what they're supposed to do. But what most people don't know and what they don't understand is that, quite simply, those royalties can be manipulated. Because when the money comes in, they're the ones that decide how that money is going to be split up, and it's shared amongst the membership or amongst those who actually are earning it. So, for example, as I said to you, I could be playing music, or you could be playing my music in your premises 24/7, 365, and I'd never see a penny of it.
No.
It's as simple as that. And the reason is because they apply old methods of a distribution. So, for example, they'll take a pie chart and they'll say, who's got the biggest part of the market? And it will obviously be the majors. So whatever the percentages are, the majors will get those percentages, even though there's nothing to back up exactly how they're actually getting those monies. They'll get those percentages applied to them from that part of the market. Now, in other parts of the market, there is like 100% reporting. But the problem is that they apply different rates to different times of the day. There isn't just one rate.
Well, why is that?
Well, because they have committees, which you can probably guess are made up of the majors. And they decide who's going to get the biggest share at particular times. So they could, for example, reduce the rate at a certain time of the day, because they want to highlight certain things. Like, for example, I remember going back 30 years ago, and there was something called the cashbacks. And it was nothing more than payola. What they were doing was they were persuading the broadcasters to use their particular music. And they were given a percentage back to the broadcasters for using more of their music. And the rest of the membership didn't know anything about that at all. They had no idea what was going on. And when I found out about it, I made a massive complaint to the government, and it caused them an awful lot of problems. But what they did was they actually went underground and they turned those cashback agreements that they had with broadcasters, like, for example, Anglia TV. When Anglia TV was about, they had a cashback agreement in place. And it, strangely enough, it involved certain people who actually went to prison for certain things that they did. But anyway, the cashbacks went on and it developed into what became an administrative agreement, whereby they would enter into a contract to administer the broadcaster's music, because the broadcasters thought, wow, this is great. You know, we can get involved in this and we can create our own libraries.
Well,
for use.
They got involved, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so for doing it. And then the publishers basically got in bed with the broadcasters. So you can pretty much imagine what would happen to the usage of music on certain broadcasters. And I can tell you now, quite literally the truth, that you have people sitting on the board of the copyright management organizations who basically decide what they're going to earn over the next 5-year period or whatever it is when they agree the broadcast blankets with them.
And
what that actually means is that they will go in and they will say to them, right, this is how much you're going to pay for your music. And they would negotiate with the broadcaster. And they're negotiating on behalf of all the members of the copyright management organization. All of them. Now, bearing in mind what I told you last time, out of 160,000 members of the PRS, there's only about 13,000 of them thereabouts who are actually earning anything.
That's actually shocking. So that just tells me the membership as a whole, they're not getting their fair share, are they, John?
No, they don't. No. They have absolutely no idea. And what actually gets me about the whole situation is that they're so stupid that they don't actually do anything about it. I mean, for years, I've complained about it and I've made massive complaints about the way that the majors control the market and the way that they manipulate it. And there's just no two ways about it. So, for example, right now, you know, Universal administer the music output of the BBC, putting it in a very simple way, and BMG administer the music output of ITV. And you sit back and you go, right, now, doesn't it stand to make sense that Universal are going to want to get their music used on the BBC?
Yeah. Of course.
And BMG are going to want to get their music used on ITV. Now, they're all out front. They'll say, oh, no, no. All the broadcasters have access to the whole repertoire of the copyright management organizations, of which everybody signs up to. Well, actually, not quite true. They do have access to it. But, for example, Universal will have a much, much closer relationship with the BBC than anybody else could get. And I'll be honest with you, I know I'm talking a lot about it, but I had a question put to Lord Hall, who was the former Director General of the BBC, in a select committee hearing, to ask him how much of Universal's music is being utilized on the BBC as against anybody else's.
What was the answer?
We never got an answer.
That's a shock, isn't it?
It never came back. And you just sit back and you go, right, okay. Now, even though the question was pursued, we never got an answer from the BBC. Now, I recorded that segment of that select committee hearing, and I can assure you that it was a very, very exact question, because I gave the questions to the MP at the time on the select committee. And nothing. So if there were no answers coming back, then you can pretty much guess that it's a little bit of a whitewash, really. It means that, quite simply, Universal will be getting a free hand. So there's a French-owned company getting access to public money. And that money is... Yeah, that money is going off to the French Treasury and to the tax havens of Universal and into big wages, you know, for people like Lucy and Grange. And it's just part of one setup in one country. They're massive. It's a big corporation in the way that they work. And so, and the same will be with BMG. And as far as they're concerned, I'm like public enemy number one for actually trying to tell people about what's going on, because there are people from other countries that have no chance of actually ever getting their music used on the BBC, except if they're invited onto programs. That's it. And you won't hear about it. I mean, tell me, how much variation in the music do you hear on the BBC now?
I don't watch the BBC, I'm afraid.
You're amongst a growing segment of the population. But, you know, this is the point that I'm making. Now, people will say, well, you know, why are you complaining? Because you have music with Universal. You have music with, with Sony. And, you know, why would you complain? I'm complaining because it's unfair.
It is unfair. But you know what that makes me think? To keep them honest, who's supposed to regulate them?
All right, well, I'm going to make a big statement here, and I'm going to tell you now. It's supposed to be the Intellectual Property Office. And those people are bereft of anything called a work ethic when it comes to actually properly regulating what's going on, because they know exactly what is going on there. They know exactly. But they always seem to find an excuse to get it out of their intray. And I've never been able to understand how they can actually reconcile the fact that a board member of, say, for example, the PRS, the Performing Rights Society, can actually sit down and negotiate a blanket license fee with a broadcaster that they're in business with. I call that insider trading. And different different MPs that I've spoken to and different lords that I've spoken to have just said, well, actually, is that right? And I said, well, I don't think it's right. And they didn't mean the question in that way, but they meant, that isn't right. How can you have somebody who's actually in business with the broadcaster negotiating a license on behalf of the whole membership? And they can't actually deny this because it happened. And they were questioned by my MP, Justin Manders, and they admitted it in a meeting because he hauled them into Parliament to ask them questions because I was actually getting attacked by these people, you know, for asking these questions. And not that it bothers me about being attacked. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I wear that like a badge of honour for actually being honest.
You're over the target, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, what are they going to do? They're not going to take me to court, because if they take me to court, they're going to have to prove things. I have to tell you, Mark, they're a law unto themselves, and it's like the Wild West out there. And whoever actually makes the remonstrations about what's going on, it always seems to fall on deaf ears at the IPO, because they always seem to say, well, we can't find anything in the legislation. But morally, it's totally incompatible with fair business, you know, for fair access to the market for the rest of the composers and the performers in the country.
It sounds like there's lots of shady agreements going on in the Scots backs and...
Totally.
You know.
And the music industry has been rife with that for so many years. And me, I get sick of it. So, I mean, I'm back at Parliament on Wednesday, and I'll be talking about these things and speaking to different people about it again to say, look, you know, something can be done, because it's almost like speaking to the Conservatives, it's like you're talking to a brick wall. You know?
That with most politicians, isn't it?
Oh. When Nadine Dorris came in, you know, she was this Liverpool lass, you know, who's very down to earth, completely ignored it. She completely ignored it. Been going on for so long. I think it's disgusting. And I don't have any fear of these people whatsoever. None. Zero. I don't care what they do. The fact of the matter is that if something is not quite right, you got to call it out. So here it is to the IPO. I think you're doing a crap job. And to Chris Mills and his team, I think you better get off your ass and do something about it, because I'm calling you people out now. Sick and tired of this going on in this country. And you people and the Conservatives doing nothing about it and allowing an executive of these CMOs, who basically toady to the majors because they're getting pretty high wages in their jobs and they don't want to be kicked out, to get away with these kind of things. And as far as I'm concerned, no. And I don't really care about what they do or what they say. Take me to court. Be great. You know, if you did take me to court, it'd be great, because then we could actually get access to all the information and put it out into the public. But you know what's going to happen, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, there's going to be a whitewash, isn't there?
Yeah, but they're not going to take me to court either, because they don't want anybody asking the right questions.
No.
You know, and I'm saying these things on behalf of everybody, really, because all the other organizations that are supposedly looking after, you know, their members, people like the Ivers, Musicians Union, and all the rest of them, they just basically sit down and they're just talking shops. Because the majors just carry on doing what they do. Classic example is UK music. They're supposedly the people who represent the whole of composers, performers, and everything in the UK. They have no mandate. They were never voted in to do the job by anybody. The executive of the PRS just said, we think it's going to be a good idea. Basically because the major says it's going to be a good idea. And they give them $500,000. PPL give them $500,000. So they go out and they're just a lobbying organization which goes out and, you know, I think it's just like a sort of jollies, you know, for the people that are in there, because I don't think people like Jamie and Juku Goodwin are actually, I don't think they're actually thinking that they're doing any good for the industry, because I've not seen anything that's made any headway to make the market fairer. And they've been told in the past about these things going on, and they do nothing.
Why do you think these people aren't so keen on tackling this issue, John?
Because they want to stay in a high-paying job. That's what it is. And as soon as a better gig comes along, they're out. They'll be away, without a shadow of a doubt. I can't begin to tell you how corrupt the industry really is. And again, I say, if any of them want to have a go at me, please do come back. Let me know, because I'm willing to go head to head. In fact, I'm willing to go head to head in a debate with Andrea Martin, who's the chief executive of the PRS.
We should arrange that, shouldn't we?
Oh, that would be great. Go head to head with her and start putting some very serious questions to her about the way that she actually runs the PRS.
Something tells me, John, she won't be too keen.
No, she won't. I mean, she's not particularly that educated about the music industry. She might appear to be. She can go down and have a picture taken of herself at the piano, but she can't play the piano.
See, I'd be very surprised if a lot of these people involved are that well educated on the music industry. I think they're just all in it for the money.
That's my whole view. And the membership have the power to do something about it, but they do nothing. And they rely, this is how these people rely on the inertia of the membership not to do anything. And they're being ripped off daily. So all you got to do is you got to say to them, get the MPs to get them in on a select committee to these publishers and say, how much are you earning from the BBC blanket? And force the PRS to tell the MPs. And that'll tell you everything you need to know about what's happening with 160,000 members when only 13,000 of them are earning anything.
That is shocking, that, isn't it?
Yeah. And it could be even worse than those figures. It could be worse. So
it probably will be, John, won't it? Let's face it.
They basically whitewash and bullshit the MPs. And the IPO basically take their orders in some part from the ministers. But the IPO should actually be saying to them, there's something wrong here with the market. And if they don't do anything about it, well then, in that case, then the situation's going to carry on, and it gives a green light to all the major publishers to go and do what they want to do. And here's a message to them. I am there, gentlemen and ladies. I am making it known how you're manipulating the market. At least somebody is actually telling the truth.
Finally.
Indeed. So there you go. So that gives you an idea of the copyright management organizations and the people who are supposed to be regulating them, and they're not doing anything. And you can name it on everything. You can actually turn around and say, well, what happened in Rotherham? People in positions of power did nothing.
What it's a common theme, isn't it?
Yeah, what happened in Hillsborough?
Something.
Post Office Horizon scandal.
Yeah.
It's because the people in power wouldn't do anything about it when they were being told. And this is no different to those situations, because it destroys people's lives, because they know, well, they don't know, they don't understand that they're never going to get anywhere. They're never going to get anywhere at all.
We seem to have this culture at the minute, don't we? Just burying your head in the sand.
Yeah.
And not dealing with really important issues. And this is another one.
Yeah, it is. And the people within the music industry, especially, they're just grateful that they're getting a few crumbs from the table, some of them. You know, it's as simple as that. And it doesn't mean, for example, just because you're not making any headway, it doesn't mean to say you're no good. Not at all. I mean, I would pitch myself against any pianist, any pianist composer in this country. I wouldn't even give a damn. I mean, I'm still there. I'm still being utilized. And I don't blame the people on the working line, you know, like in the broadcasters, you know, the people that are choosing, because they're being told what music to choose. They're being told. And there's recent legal arguments gone on behind the scenes in which people have been frightened, literally frightened, to follow through with an action. Or another thing that happens is that the major companies throw everything at it to shut them up and make it just too expensive for them to carry on.
Seen that before, haven't we, as well, in politics?
Yeah. And that's the other tactic that is utilized. And I think that the solicitors involved, and it's usually the magic circle ones, should actually have a little bit of moral backbone and actually say, no, we're not going to defend that. We don't think that's right. And it happens so often within the music industry, and people back down. Whereas me, well, I might do a Jeremy Clarkson. I remember I did ask one of them, this guy, I told him I was going to give him a new hairdo, because I told him I was going to put his head down the toilet. He went ahead and did a deal that I didn't like. I know, you can't do that. I said, watch me. I said, there's my office right there. And he realized that he was stood by the toilet. Oh, my word.
Well, John, if anyone's going to maybe break this corrupt system, I think you could be the man.
Well, I would hope that people would listen. I know that it's going to ring bells with a lot of people when they're listening to this. And they're going to go, yeah, the guy's right. And it's bad in all the other countries as well. And you have to stand back and you have to say, well, call a spade. It's as simple as that. It's wrong. And you should have equal opportunity. I'm not talking about outcome. I'm talking about opportunity. There should be equal opportunity for everybody to be able to get in and do the things. And not just because these companies are suddenly, you know, becoming woke. I mean, you've only got to look at the PRS and their history of following trends and stuff like that, you know. Let me give you an example. I mean, they're talking about women in music. Well, all right. There have been women in music, but it's not men's fault that they didn't get the kind of headlines that they should have done. look to the companies that are actually doing the music, publishing the music. They're rip-off merchants in a lot of them, yeah. In a lot of the cases. They're rip-off merchants. And I know it sounds like a soapbox rant, but the truth of the matter is everybody that's in the business and that isn't frightened would be nodding their head and saying, that guy is right, you know.
You know, John, I think it's time people just stopped agreeing and started standing up now.
Yeah.
And getting behind people like you and fixing this mess.
Well, that's why I love the politics as well. And that's why they don't like me, because I'm also in behind the scenes, you know, at Parliament as well. And they don't like that. They don't like people who know that side. And they don't like people that have the ability to express themselves at different levels. Simple as that. So there you go. That gives you another briefing on what's going on in this industry, sir.
Well, it was tasty. Well, you did say in part one that you love music but hated the industry.
Oh, I hate these people.
Having a little taste of why, aren't we?
I hate these people with a vengeance. Mm-hmm. They will block people or try to block people, very talented people, and I consider myself amongst that grouping. They will try to block those people, but you cannot keep a good man down. If you're good at what you do, talent will out. And that's the message to these bean counters. You can only do something so far, and then you get caught up. And I think that the IPO, they're going to start to have a little bit of a think when political pressure is put on them to actually do the right thing and start opening up the market. Because why should we have a French-owned company basically controlling the BBC? Why should we have a German company basically controlling what's going on at ITV? Why should we have that? You know, why can't we have a British company? Why can't we have a British company that's involved in that? It's not beyond the realms of being able to generate our own companies, but you cannot do it if our own people are stifling the competition and allowing other homegrown talent. And you've seen that, you know, you've seen that so many different times and what's gone on. And, you know, I've had enough of it. Simple as that. I've had enough. But there you go. There you go. Rant over, Mr. Hartley.
You keep at them, John. You keep at them.
There you go. Well, thank you very much for another wonderful conversation.
You're welcome, sir.
Shall we leave this on a happy note?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Here we go.